Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Is he worthy of the glory? Is he worthy of the glory? Come on, let's give him glory. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. He is in this place. He is present. He is here. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Keep it going. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You all may be seated in the presence of God. I don't even need to preach today. Oh, my God, he is here already. Jesus. Father God, we just thank you for this day, God. God, we thank you for your presence that dwells in our midst, Father. Lord God, right now I ask that you just empty me of me, Father. Hide me behind your cross, Daddy. I invite you in this place, Father, for you to have your way. Touch, heal, and deliver each and every person under the sound of my voice, Daddy. This is your word. This is your show, Father. And we thank you, God, that you will hasten to perform your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When Pastor Jeff asked me to preach this week, I really didn't want to. As Maya alluded last Sunday, Minister Troy came in here and tore the house down. Did he not? And all I could think of was, how do you come behind a word like that? But then I got myself together. I got my second wind. And then Wednesday, Minister Leo came through on the Bible study. And I started wrestling again. And I against that, right? I mean, Minister Leo with the wrestling, that Bible study word was so good. And I didn't realize I was in the middle of my own wrestle on Wednesday. But then Friday, and just wreck, come through and wreck it and talk about the four stages of Jonah. Whew. But then that's when God arrested me. He said, it's not about any of those things. It's about my word in this time. So we're going to start this word team. And the title, if I had to give a title, now I always like to give a title so that way you can kind of remember and understand what we're talking about. It's called. And all week long, I was like, okay, God, what are we ready to do? What are we ready to do? I had to know what God was going to end up saying that we were ready to do. It was just, we ready. So that's just where we're going to be. So Exodus 13 to give you the back. All right, drop with me. Exodus chapter 13, we're at verse 17. When Pharaoh finally let the people go. What people is he talking about? If we all know the history of the children of Israel were enslaved to the Egyptians under the leadership of Pharaoh for 400 years. People go. So Moses, Israelites out of 400. Okay, so once verse 17, it says, when Pharaoh finally let the people, when he finally let them go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. Now sit on that for 1 second. The whole thing between God and the children of Israel was their destination of getting to the promised land. Now we all have a promised land ourselves, but we all have a place that God is trying to take us to. And the Bible right here says that God intentionally did not take them the shortest route to get to where he told them they had to go. Has God ever told you something and you feel like you've been waiting a long time to get there? Has God ever told you, I'm going to do this for you, I have that for you, and you kind of, and you're not sure, you're not understanding what's taking so long for him to get you to where he said he was going to take you? So that's where the children of Israel are. So the children of Israel, they're on this journey, and the Bible says that God intentionally did not take them the shortest route. So then it says that God said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. That was the first time I had ever read that scripture in this Bible. See, we get frustrated when we get delayed on our journey, but the truth is that delay is for your best interest. Because if you really knew where God was taking you, and if you really knew up front what it would cost you, and the battles you would have to face to get there, the fear of what the potential enemies could be is enough to make you choose slavery and bondage over the promise. So don't be upset in the delay. Rejoice in your delay, knowing that it's working something good in you, so that when he gets to where he's going to take you, you don't mess it up and you don't give up. Amen? I told you we're going through this one together. So it's hit. But we know here from Exodus 13 that they already had a promised place. No, we know that there was a destination for them to get there. Now, let's go to Exodus 23. Drop down to verse 20. It says, see, I'm sending an angel before you. Before me where? So now this is they're getting ready to go to the promised land, right? They're ready up. They're in their military formation. They're going in a roundabout way. I just want to make sure y'all know where we are, because we just covered 10 chapters. Y'all with me? I don't want to lose anybody. Y'all with me? All right. So now verse 20, it says, see, this is God talking to Moses. He said, I'm going to send an angel before you to protect you on the journey and lead you safely to the place I have prepared for you. Drop down to verse 23. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the land. My angel will go before you. My angel will go before you and bring you into the land. Now, these people are important. The Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. It's six different enemies here that God is pre-warning the children of Israel that they're going to have to face going into the promised land. But he said, I've already sent my angel before you. He said, and I will destroy them completely. Did y'all hear what he said? He said, they're enemies in the land, but I'm already sending my angel ahead of time, and I'm going to destroy them. So what does that mean that they got to do? They just got to show up. Drop down a little bit further. In verse 27, he says, I will send terror ahead of you and create panic among the people whose lands you invade. I will make your enemies turn and run. I will send terror ahead of you to drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites. Now, that's just the historical backdrop. Now, let's get to where we got to go. Where I really wanted to go is Numbers chapter 13. So in Numbers chapter 13, one thing I love about God is that he always tells you what's about to happen before it happens. And sometimes in the delay, we start to question, well, did he really say that that's going to happen? Is it really going to work out like that? Because I'm in my delay process. It's taking too long. So maybe I just had some bad pizza. Maybe I didn't really hear him the way I said that I heard, the way I thought I heard him, because it's taking too long to get there. But he also says that what's happening is in that journey, I'm processing you, but I'm also ahead of you, because I'm doing some things and I'm making the path straight and I'm making some other things, some provisions and things like that happen for you. So we got to learn how to trust God, okay? Now, I'm in Numbers 13. Now, Numbers 13, Moses has now called together the children of Israel. He said, now, this is that. We're getting ready to go into that place that God has been promising us for all this time. We are getting ready to go. Now, I want you all to imagine yourselves, you're in a football game, right? You're the team, and your coach is like, listen, we done beat our regular season people. We done won the divisionals. We done won the championship game. We are ready for the Super Bowl. This is what it is. Now, before we can go into the Super Bowl, I'm going to send 12 of my best people ahead, because I need you to go and see what the field is like there. I need you to go and see what the field is like. Is it a dome? Is it open play field? Is it turf? Is it grass? What do their fans like? Are they rowdy or are they subtle? What's it like? What's it like? What are we going up against? You got to know what you're going up against before you can go and take possession of something. So what Moses does is he decides to pick 12 of the best representatives from each one of the tribes of Israel. I'm not going to go through and read them. They're listed in your Bible. Okay, I'm going to slow down and take my time. Y'all know I get fast. He's the top ruler of each individual tribe. He called them together for a meeting. And he said, listen, I need you all to go scout out this land and bring us back a report. because this is our land that we're getting ready to go dominate, okay? Now, let's go to 17. Moses gave these men instructions as he sent them out to explore the land. He tells them what direction to go, and he says, see what the land is like. Are the people there strong or weak? Are there a lot of them or little of them? What kind of land do they live in? Is it good? Is it bad? Do their towns have walls? Is it unprotected? Is the soil fertile? Is it poor? Is how many trees? Do your best to bring back samples of the crops you see. So they went, the 12 men, one that represented each tribe, they went to go and explore the land. They went north and passed through the Negev and arrived at Hebron, where, and now I want you all to remember these three names. I'm going to butcher them, but these three names are important. Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai. Let's say them together. Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai. God didn't tell them about them three. I told you about the six that he told y'all about, but now they're coming across these three. All of them are descendants of Anak. Anak was a giant. So in that time, there was giants, and they were descendants of the giants. The Bible says that when they went into the land, they met three giants that were in the land, and all of them were descendants of Anak. So when they came to the Valley of Eshah, that's when you all hear the Bible story where they cut down the grapes, and it was large enough for two men to carry them, right? That's the exciting part. So now let's go back. Come with me down to verse 25. So the Bible says that these 12 men explored the land for 40 days. And when they returned to Moses and Aaron, the whole community of Israel and Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran, they provided the report to the community. They told them everything they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. So they told them what they saw, and they showed them the fruit. This was the report of Moses, the report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country, the Canaanites live along the coast and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people down. He was like, who cares who's there? Who cares how big they are? So Caleb tries to quiet them down as they stood before Moses. And he says, listen, let's go at once and take the land because we can conquer it. Let's go take the land because we can conquer it. Let's go take the land because we can conquer it. Let's go. Come on, are we a church that builds territories? Are we a church that builds territories? Let's go. Take the land. We can conquer it. But the other men who went with him explored the land, and they disagreed. We can't go against them. They are stronger than we are. So they decided to spread the bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we travel through and explore will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people were huge. And we saw giants. How many giants did I say there were in the land? Uh-oh. We had three giants, but he said all the people were huge, and there were giants. They were descendants of Anak. And then he says, then the people say, next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. So now, how did he know? How did he know what they thought about the children of Israel? Because when you read this text and when you read the word, the Bible says that they were there for 40 days. So for 40 days, you were allowed to go and inhabit this land. You were allowed to go in and test the land. You were able to figure out who lived where. You talked to the people so you know who belonged to what community. And you cut down groups, grapes and figs and pomegranates, and not one person was injured. Not one person was hurt. Not one person lost their life. So you were able to be in someone else's territory for 40 days, and I'm going slow because I want you all to hear what I'm saying. You are already in the place that God told you you could be, standing toe-to-toe with your enemy and still receiving the blessing of the Lord while you were there. Yet somewhere along the way in your mind, you have decided that you are not invited into this place that you already own. In this text, what we read is that God had already told them, I'm going to go ahead of you. My presence is already going to be there when you get there. I'm already going to let these people know, like, yo, you mess with my people, we're going to have a problem. Let them come through. Y'all know how the street life is. Listen, these are my people when they come through. You get passageway. They had passageway. But all they could see was that they were like grasshoppers. And that's what someone else thought about them too. So now we are flowing in the prophetic. Because now they're able to tell what someone else is thinking. In my world, the mental health world, we call that a thinking error. When we have made up a decision and we have decided what someone else thinks about us, and when we have begun to make comparisons of grasshoppers and giants, that is called operating in two extremes. And when you begin to operate in two extremes, your vision and your viewpoint is already distorted before you have even gotten started. So you are not even able to correctly discern what it is that is happening in front of you. So let's break down a little bit more. The Bible says that they considered themselves to be like grasshoppers. So I got a little interested, and I said, God, show me something about these grasshoppers. Because if the issue was that they were big and the other ones were small, why didn't they compare themselves to ants? Ants are in the Bible, and ants are small, and I could understand the differentiation between an ant and a giant, but a grasshopper and a giant? So as I begin to look up grasshoppers are a type of locust. I did not know that. So when the children of Israel were enslaved to Pharaoh and in Egypt, and they kept telling Pharaoh, like, yo, let us go. We just want to worship God. And Pharaoh kept playing games with them. One of the plagues, matter of fact, the eighth plague that God sent to them was the locust. And when the locust came, the Bible says that it swarmed the land so much that it turned the entire land black. And then guess what? That gave way to the next plague, which was darkness. Because guess what? If you don't deal with the grasshopper thinking in your life, you will give birth to trauma coming in your life. You will give an open invitation, because that's what Pharaoh did. When he did not learn his lesson from the locust, the Bible said that the ninth plague that came was darkness. And darkness always represents trauma. Whenever you talk about a bad space, you always describe it as being a dark place in your life. That represents trauma. God brought trauma into the land because they did not correctly pay attention and deal with the locust when the locust came. God said, I gave you a new beginning with the locust. Let my people go. We can start all over again. But they chose not to do it, so they gave an open invitation for trauma. When we do not take on the opportunities that God gives us to deal with our grasshopper thinking, we give an invitation for trauma to come in and then begin to badger our life. But then the problem that came after that is that the 10th plague that came was that they had to kill all the firstborn. So when you don't deal with the locust and you don't deal with the trauma, then the seed of your next generation will begin to reap the harvest of your disobedience. So that's why this topic is so important. So let's begin to understand more about grasshopper behavior. So as we understand more about grasshopper behavior, grasshoppers, first of all, they don't even know how strong they are. Grasshoppers can hop the entire length of a football field faster than a fly can fly it. So you're worried about your enemy that's bigger than you because you're underestimating the strength that's in you. Let me say that again. You're worried about an enemy that you perceive to be bigger than you because you don't understand the strength that is within you. The next thing I found out about grasshoppers is that they don't have any territory. When you think like a territory and you have a leader who says, we're territory builders, but your mindset is, I don't do territory, I don't own territory, it becomes hard to conceptualize where we're going. It becomes hard to see yourself in the thing that we're going in. So you need to know that grasshoppers don't have territory. They're individual insects that like to go on long migrations by themselves, which makes them easily attacked. Don't isolate yourself from the body. You will make yourself easily attacked. So they like to hang out by themselves, and they only come together to migrate. The part that I found interesting is that their ears are located on their belly. That means that what they hear feeds their lust. It's what feeds their appetite, and they're driven. I think Minister Troy said that the very thing that we think begins to shape how we believe, and what we believe shapes our behavior. Is that what you said? So a lot of times what we're thinking is born out of what we're feeding ourselves. What is your appetite? And if your ear is driven only, if faith comes by hearing, guess what? Some other things can come by hearing too. So when you are a grasshopper, you're not able to properly discern what it is that you're even hearing. The other thing I learned about grasshoppers, y'all, guess what they eat? Their diet is based on toxins. Anything that's toxic, a grasshopper will consume it. So now we got an insect that is going to consume toxic things as their appetite, and they're hearing the toxins that they're consuming. So then because these grasshoppers have invited trauma into their life, remember I told you that they gave an invitation for it because they're by themselves and the way that they live, the toxins that they're eating, the toxins that they're fueling, they're hearing. So now we're eating and we're hearing. When we now get agitated or mad or when they feel like they're defensive, their number one defense is to then spit out brown liquid onto their enemy. Now, I'll let you use your imagination of what brown liquid is when you've consumed the wrong thing into your diet. I can't say the word from the pulpit. This is sacred ground. This is holy space. But what comes out of a man is always a reflection of what's been put in a man. You cannot produce something that you did not take the time to put in. And so if you are constantly feeding yourself the negative naysayer, the negative things about yourself, if you're constantly feeding negative thoughts about yourself, if you're constantly feeding on foolish music and foolish TV and foolish ideology, and if you're constantly allowing yourself to be fed by what's on social media and you continue to allow garbage in, then in a space of trauma and when a time that you need God and you're trying to pull on them, you're not going to find them, baby, because you didn't put them in there. You didn't put them in there. It ain't that he ain't there. You chose to not put them in there. So now let's look at this. So now we're grasshoppers. They're spitting the brown liquid. They're eating their toxic food. Their ears are on their belly, all of these other things. And so I told you that if I had to have a thesis statement or if I had to have a point, it was dominating the territory within us unlocks God's promises for us. Now let me tell you guys what happened. The truth is that the one thing that can destroy a grasshopper, do y'all know what insect can destroy a grasshopper? A fly. Grasshoppers are bigger than flies, but they fear flies. And when flies see a grasshopper that they want, what they do is they go and they find a grasshopper and they lay their egg on the grasshopper. And because the grasshopper is not focused on what he needs to be focused in on, he doesn't even know that this egg has been placed on his back. And so he's now carrying around weight and pressure that he was not even designed to carry because he did not what? Take it to where it belongs. So now many of us are carrying weights and we're carrying pressures that have been placed on us by other people. What does that weight look like? We carry the weight of abuse. We carry the weight of other people's ideologies of who they think we are. We carry the weight of our toxic thoughts that we tell ourselves, you're not good enough. You will never get there. This does not belong to you. We carry weight and we're hopping along in life, not even mindful about this weight that we carry. So then the research says that when the egg hatches, as a baby fly, it consumes the adult grasshopper. So we are adults in some things, ready to possess some things that are built for grown adult people, and we have little teeny baby flies. That flies have a diet that's based on the non-liquid brown stuff that is produced. We all know that, correct? We all know what flies like to eat, right? So when I said that when they get mad and when they get defensive, they spew out a brown liquid. The thing that is killing them, they actually are producing a thing that's feeding them. So when you feed, let me break that down and let me say it in a way that's more understandable. When you consume something that's not for you, and then you produce it out of your mouth, you continue to perpetuate the thing that you've been consuming to destroy you. Did you understand what I just said? Let me break it down and say it differently. If grasshoppers eat toxic things, feed on negative thoughts, negative emotions, things that are contrary and opposite to the word of God, then when they get mad, they're producing the same toxic thing. You ever had food poisoning? You ever ate something that just didn't agree with your stomach? It's liquidy when it comes out, right? So when they get mad, they're now executing or excreting that. The thing that's trying to kill it feasts off of what they're spreading. So you are producing the very thing that is killing you when you do not focus and do things the way God is calling you to do it. We are not grasshoppers in the body of Christ. I thought it was so amazing that you all began to minister today, Brother Charles, when you started saying about the locust and the canker worm, that God was going to restore it. Because, see, in Joel, I believe it's in chapter 2 or chapter 3, God said, I will restore the years. Because, see, we can get lost. You can lose time in unforgiveness. You can lose time beating yourself up for something that's old. You will lose time not pursuing the things that God is telling you. And, see, because when the grasshoppers or the locusts or whatever, whatever you want to call them, when they became the swarm, when they began to swarm in Egypt, the Bible said that they tore up the land. They left nothing there. They tore up the trees. There was nothing it was able to produce in the land. You are not able to produce in the landscape of your mind when you allow the grasshopper thinking. It will erode the very fabric that God has given you to know how to go and pursue his promise for your life. So then I said, okay, if they're grasshoppers and we're facing giants, help me to understand. I said, these other clans, they had to be big people. So I looked up each and every one of them. I looked up all six of them. Minister Leo will appreciate this because six is the number of man. Because the real fight that we're fighting is we're really fighting ourselves. And so I told you all that there were six different enemies that the children of Israel were fighting. They fought the Amorites, the Jebusites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, and the Hivites. And last night I said, you know what, God, they have to be big. And he said, why? I said, well, because the report that was given is that the people who were in the land were huge and there were giants. So if we got huge people and giants, then these six tribes or communities or whatever you want to call them, they have to be big people. But guess what they are? Guess what they are, y'all? The Amorites were bitter rebels. The biggest enemy you will face is the bitterness you choose to not let go of. And your bitterness will feed your rebellion, which will keep you separated from the promised land of God. The Jebusites had a reputation for being angry and were trampling things down. So in your anger and your refusal to let go of your anger and allow joy to take over your life, you will trample down the people, the places, and the things that God is giving you that is going to give you access to the promise that he's giving you. The Hittites were people who were broken and full of fear. Now let's sit here for a second. Many of us are broken, and that brokenness produces a fear in your life, doesn't it? But the Bible says that he was broken for our transgressions. It says that he was bruised for our iniquities. And the problem is that so many of us are afraid to admit that we're broken. But we can see it because when we walk past, you're cutting us with your broken edges. When you see us, ooh, that hurt. Today is the day we are ready to deal with our brokenness. Amen? The Perizzites had no boundaries. Remember he said, go into the land and let's see whether or not the city was fortified or not. But the Perizzites were people, when you don't have boundaries, you don't know how to say no. When you don't have boundaries, you don't operate by standards. When you don't have boundaries, I shouldn't really spend the night over your house, but I'm kind of tired, so I'm with my friends, so if I want to drink a little bit, I'm not going to be drunk, so it's the space of compromise. And when you live in the space of compromise, there's no judgment. That's not what I'm saying. But you open up the door for other things to come in. I told you when we didn't deal with the grasshoppers, when Pharaoh did not deal with the grasshoppers, he gave an invitation to trauma. I'm not saying that every time trauma will answer, but we are responsible for the invitations that we hand out. The Canaanites, they were idolatrous people. That means that they honored and reverenced things over God. Whether if it's the phone call you feel like taking instead of spending time with God, it's the little things, y'all. It's always going to be the little foxes. We can see the big ones coming a mile away. The enemy's never going to kill you with a big fox. It's too easy. It's too easy, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like, that, it's never going to happen like that. It's always going to be the sneaky things that you don't deal with, the little bit of sin that you allow to just stay in your life because, nobody really knows about it anyway. DM me instead of posting it on my wall, right? Matter of fact, hit me on a Snapchat because it's going to automatically, I learned that, because it's going to automatically erase once I send it, right? You know what I'm saying? Text, that's trackable. Send it in a snap. It's the little foxes that will get you hemmed up every single time. It's the little things that you begin to honor above the revelation that you have of God that will ensnare you every single time. And the Hivites, they were just known for their wickedness. See, the thing is that when you don't deal with your grasshoppers, this is how trauma comes into your life. Any therapist in this room, at the root of every trauma is one of those things that I just listed. These things will give birth to the very things that hurt you. And the problem is that because generations before us did not deal with their grasshoppers and chose to live in darkness, they gave way to traumas that some of us are still living as the firstborn right now. So some of us have been victimized by decisions that were made from generations that came before us. But today we're ready. I told you I don't know where we're going, but we're ready. We're ready. So as I began to continue to look at this thing, I said, man, how was it that Caleb lived among these grasshoppers and was able to say, let's go right now, let's conquer it? Well, Caleb was from the tribe called Judah. And Judah is actually probably one of my favorite tribes. It's the tribe that Jesus came through, but it's also the messiest tribe. Judah, listen, if y'all want some good juicy reading, read about the tribe of Judah. I mean, them people was just tore up from the floor up. You talking about adulterers, you talking about killing people. My homeboy David was from the tribe of Judah, the one who liked to watch Bathsheba take a bath and then had her husband killed after he got her pregnant. See, Caleb came out of that tribe. And I'm saying that today because it's not always where you come from. It doesn't matter how you start in life. It doesn't matter what things were passed down to you. There's still a Caleb that can rise up in you. And Caleb was able to rise up in the face of this faith. And what Caleb said was, let's stop rehearsing the trauma. Let's stop rehearsing the drama. Let's stop going off of what we're seeing without a distorted view. And let's go and conquer the land right now. That's what Caleb said. But guess what? They told Caleb to shut up. Well, I think the last time I ministered, I talked to you guys about David and Goliath. And Goliath in that season was taunting David right when they were getting ready to go into battle by calling him a dog. You all remember I told you all that if y'all were here? He kept saying, you dog, you Israelite, how dare you come against me? Well, the name Caleb means dog in Hebrew. And so what I'm saying is I like that old school song. I don't know what the new school songs are, but that old school song's like, where my dogs at? Because in this season, for what we're ready to do, for the territory that we're getting ready to possess, you better be able to make sure that you got the right dogs around you, that when you have that grasshopper come up, they say, no, kill that noise. No, no, no. You're not beneath. You are the head and not the tail. You are above only and not beneath. No, you can go start that business. No, you can go and heal your marriage. No, you can go do those things. But if you don't have the right people around you, then when those rumblings in your belly start to take off, you will not be able to hear anything else. I'm coming to a close. So in the end, as I begin to think, grasshoppers and giants. It didn't make sense that it was a size comparison. Y'all know I always tell y'all something that my husband tells me to say. That's just going to be my staple and my trademark, y'all, because number one, I love my covering. And number two, when you have an anointed vessel, they're always ahead of you and they can see things that you can't see. So when God first gave me this scripture on Monday, the first thing he told me to do was go sit down and eat it for myself. So I spent this entire week dealing with the grasshoppers that lived in me. That was the first thing that I did. And then when I was going through and working through this word with him last night, he said, babe, he said the grasshopper and giant was because sometimes people think too much of themselves. They think that they're just bigger than what they really, really are. And so when you do that, you miss God. And when you see yourself as being too small, you miss God. So the goal is to stay balanced. Right here in the middle. And I began to see God, and I said, how can we remember this word? What can we do when we're in those moments, right? Because I want to tell you all that the punishment for the children of Israel was that all the 10 other spies, I'm sorry, it was two, it was Joshua and Caleb, but this story focused on Caleb. The 10 other tribes caused the entire body of Israel to wander the wilderness for 40 years. See, God gave them a year for every day that he allowed them to see his goodness. He gave them a year of punishment. He said, I gave you 40 days to eat the best of the land that I promised you. I gave you 40 days to eat the milk and the honey and to carry the grapes and to go and see what I was going to do for you. I gave you 40 years of prophecy manifested right here in your own eyes. You could see, you could touch, you could taste it, and I trusted you to take my goodness back to other people. But instead of that, you took yourself back. So for every year, see, that was the delay right there. They weren't ready to go and inhabit it because it's too much self. It's too much bigness. I think too much of myself in this area, and I don't see God enough of myself in this area. So because of that, you're going to go somewhere and sit down, you and the entire community, for 40 years, and you're going to think about who I am. So that way the next time I bring you into my goodness, the next time I show you who I am, you will handle it properly. And so I believe that many of us have mishandled some things, and many of us have been in timeout for a long time. But as I was seeking God this week, I told God, I said, yo, we're ready. We're ready to dominate those areas in our lives that don't look like you. We're ready, God, because we want to possess the promise that you have for us that's outside of us. Am I by myself in saying that we're ready? Am I by myself? I didn't hear everybody. Because, see, if we don't submit to the preparation, if we don't submit to the journey, you have no power. Power comes in preparation. Don't despise the preparation space. There's power. That's where you get your anointing. That's how you learn how to crush that tried to crush you. It's all in the process. It's all in the process. I was so excited to be at the women's event on Friday night. Some of the women shared their journey of places where God was taking them, and we were all in different places. We were all in different stages in our life. But the thing that I loved the most is that someone had already been where her sister had been. So it was nothing new. There's nothing that anybody in here can be facing that someone else is not already. Baby, I slayed that giant. Come talk to me. I'll tell you how to slay it. Come talk to me. Grasshoppers stay by themselves. They isolate. They hang out alone. They don't know. They don't get the strategy from their people. They're not with their right dogs. You understand what I'm saying? Your dogs are the ones that's barking in your ear, that's louder than your appetite, that pushes you. Dogs run in packs. Dogs run in packs. If we're going to take the territory that Israelite church is destined to take, we're going to have to run as a pack. So I'm going to ask y'all again, where my dogs at? Where are my dogs at? But I'm going to do an altar call. And in this altar call, we're going to take the bougie dogs, too, the ones that go in the purse. We'll take them, too. Jessica goes in the purse. I was looking for the big dogs, but okay, I hear you, Holy Spirit. All dogs are welcome. It's fine. But I'm going to do this altar call because even though we all want to go, we got some places within us that we have to heal. We have some places in us that we have to let go, and it's okay because we're going to do it together. There's not going to be any judgment. There's not going to be none of that because we all got to go. The promise isn't the promise if we ain't all there. See, God didn't say, you know what, Caleb, you and your people, you, Joshua, and y'all people, y'all go. No, he said, we're going to go together. We got to wait for this generation to die off because they're not going with us. But we're going to go and we're going to do this thing together. And it's so amazing that this whole month, Pastor Jeff has been teaching on what it means to be a member at Israel Life Church. Israel Life Church is real people. Real people have real issues. They have real problems. They have real stories. They have real backgrounds. They have a real past, y'all. But guess what? When we connect with one another in a real way, we can begin to heal those things together. We can begin to change the landscape of everything. And then we can begin to collectively watch God restore those years that we lost fighting this thing by ourselves. Many of us love the prophetic, and I'm done. But the word of God is the best prophetic thing you'll ever read in your life. We'll stand in line. We'll wait. We'll call somebody because we want a prophetic word. And the truth is, the Bible is God's prophecy. And the real purpose of the prophetic is to increase your capacity for what's coming next. Let me say that again. The real purpose of the prophetic is to increase your capacity for what's coming next. The children of Israel, up until the promised land, never owned territory. If you ever read about them, it said that they inhabited a land. They were just inhabitants, and they were very much so migrants, where God would take them as a pillar of fire by day or a cloud by night from different places. So to be able to now know that you're no longer going to just be a nomad or a migrant, to know that you're no longer going to just be a migrant to being an owner and a possessor, someone has to first tell you that you have the capacity to do that first. That's what the prophetic does. It stretches your imagination to see yourself beyond where you are right now. And so I am prophetically telling you that every promise that's in the Word of God you can have. I am prophetically telling you that you can be healed of everything that tries to torment you. I am prophetically telling you that any one of those things that I listed off as one of the six attributes or six descriptions of those enemies that were living in the promised land, you have what's in you. It's called the Holy Spirit to destroy it. That thing cannot conquer you. It cannot stop you any longer. So today we are ready. Today we are ready to kill every Jebusite, Hittite, Hivite, Canaanite, and whatever other site it was today. And if you are ready, come join me at the altar because we're going to do this thing together. That's if you are ready. There's no pressure. I mean, there is a little bit of pressure. I mean, unless you just openly want to give the invitation to trauma and accept their RSVP, and then you're okay with the fact that, you know, it's going to, you know, I'll keep you in darkness a little longer. And then you know that if you have kids or another generation coming behind you, you know, like that it's going to affect that. So, I mean, if you're cool with that, then being a grasshopper is just fine. But if you're not cool with being a grasshopper, and I definitely want all the elders to come up and help me pray for people today. If you're not cool with being a grasshopper, then today we're going to trust for that Joel chapter 2 promise. We're going to trust for restoration to happen. We're going to trust that God is going to restore the years for the things that we invited into our lives to go. That's what we're going to do. And so I'm going to pray for everybody. And then after I pray for everybody, if you want individual prayer, you remain at the altar. I'm going to pray for everybody, but if you need individual prayer, you remain at the altar. If you choose to not remain at the altar, please keep the atmosphere praying for your brothers and sisters and your fellow dogs in the pack that are healing from some grasshopper things. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray that this word fell on good soil today, God. Father God, I thank you that the soil that it fell on, Father God, is renewed and restored soil, Father God, after the terror that the locust has done to it, Father. I thank you, God, that it is good ground. I thank you, God, that every word spoken, God, was a word that came fresh from you, God. It was fresh manna from you, God, and it's going to perform in each and every vessel, Lord God, that received this word today. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, that we will not leave the same way that we came. I thank you, Father God, that chains are broken. Father God, the thing that has imprisoned us, God, I thank you that you gave us keys, Lord God, today that will unlock every prison, Father. And permanently shut those doors behind us so we can never return and go back. Even in our weak moments, God, we choose to still pursue the promised land, God, and not go back to Egypt. God, we declare and we speak over our lives that we are not afraid of any huge thing. We're not afraid of any gigantic thing. We're not even afraid of any leaping thing, God, that may come in our path, Lord God, and make us feel that the promise that you have for us does not exist. It simply is just not you. So, Lord God, I pray for every person who's experienced trauma right now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, God, that you're going into the innermost parts of their spirit right now, God, and that you're healing those places, God, the deep hidden places, God, that we don't talk about, that we may not even know about, that we busy ourselves about so we don't even have to think about it, God, but they come up in our dreams. We shut it down right now in the name of Jesus, God, and we lose peace, oh, God. God, you said in John that you would leave your peace with us. So, God, right now we call forth peace to each and every person in this line, your peace, God, that passes understanding, that guards, Father God. We no longer choose to guard ourselves, God, but we will rest behind the guardian of you. We will rest behind the angel that has already gone ahead of us, Father. And Father God, I thank you for your blood that covers. Lord God, to any invitations that we sent, Daddy, the ones we remember we sent and the ones we forgot, that your blood just covers it, erases it, and deletes it right now in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I pray that you cover each person with the oil of your anointing so that when the enemy comes looking to seek whom he may devour, that he has to bypass everyone that's in this room. He does not even see them, God. Remove them out of his peripheral in the name of Jesus. And God, right now I call forth faith eyes, faith ears, and faith lips, God. You are reorganizing every organ that we have, oh God. Relocate our ears so that they're no longer controlled by the thoughts of our belly and our appetite. Put them back where they belong, Father. Anything that has been distorted or moved to the location that you have not set for it, we ask that you place it back right now. Put it in its rightful place, God. We thank you for real healing, God. We thank you that this connection, God, connects us back to you because you are the ultimate source. Now may the love of God rest and rule between you and I for the rest of the week. In Jesus' name. We're going to pray for everyone who remains at the altar. If you are not going to remain at the altar and you want to become a member, you can go to the